Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for today's date, which is November the 5th, 2015. This is Religion Means Alive, and I am your host this evening. First and foremost, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for awakening me this morning, giving me use of my faculties without needing the assistance of others. This is something we should be grateful for when we, you know, wake up, you know, and as I say on all the calls, you know, we should be practicing Muslims from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, inshallah. So tonight, and I believe that is the person who is holding, I am interviewing Mr. Dean Overdunya himself. So I'm going to see if that is him waiting on the line to put him through so that we can speak.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum salam.
Naam, how are you doing tonight?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing well, inshallah.
So, you know, I decided to, you know, have you as a guest on the show because, you know, I want people to understand what you do, what you're about, and, you know, how you're trying to promote positivity within the Ummah in Philadelphia. You know, I think it's important, very important, how you go about things and how you're taking the initiative to do these positive things within the community. And being, you know, being very vocal about it because you have your own show as well that you do. So, you know, take this time to tell me a little bit about yourself, your experiences, different things that you're working on within the community, different things that's going on with you, and I'll let you take the reins from here.
Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I've been Muslim for 20 years, inshallah. Since 1996, so almost 20 years, and I've seen the Islamic community change in the city of Philadelphia in the last 20 years, inshallah. So I decided, you know, to have a radio show with a few co-hosts to invite other imams on to try to you know, unify the message of Islam from all over America, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, it's been doing good. And around 2010, I had met the brother Qasim Bashir, who made the movie Muslim at the movie theater when he had the premiere. And I asked him to come on my show, you know, mashallah, and he did. And I asked him on my show in the interview, would he continue to make like Islamic movies like Muslim? And his answer was, he's going to just make good movies. He's not going to focus on one genre or the other. So I thought it would be a good idea to write scripts, Islamic scripts, that could promote the message of Islam, which is like a tool that we can use the media to promote this deen, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. So, you know, inshallah, this will be my first movie, Dean Overdunya, coming out, inshallah, at the end of this month. Yeah, inshallah, I'll do well. But it's a powerful message behind it, inshallah.
You know, I follow you. I follow you on social network, and you know, even though we're not, like, direct friends, you know, like, you follow me, I follow you, you know, I've seen that, you know, this is something positive and, you know, this is something that we should focus on. Because, you know, all too often people get caught up in different things that's going on. But we have to, when we do things Islamically, we have to also be sure that we're going to capture the audience that's going to be, you know, what we're trying to correct or what we're trying to, you know, lead to a better direction. So I see that in you. I see what you're trying to do. And it works. It works because, you know, the audience that you're trying to capture, you have their attention. People are watching you, you know, seeing what you're doing, and it's a positive thing. So, you know, alhamdulillah, I just want to give you, you know, some recognition for that because, you know, all too often we bypass these things and we don't focus on these things. And, you know, we push them under the water like, oh, this, you know, this ain't happening or this ain't going good and things like that. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about the movie, what the movie is about and, you know, the basis of the movie?
Nah, the movie is about, it's focused on a character named E-Man Saifulhaq. And he's an E-Man at a local masjid, and he's frustrated that Muslims don't come to the masjid and participate in the programs and activities that he has, you know, and the congregation is basically telling him that he should go out to the street to, like, bring the people in the masjid, and he refuses to do that because he's saying that if they want to come, they know where the masjid at, and this is where I'm going to be. And, you know, his wife gets shot in a drive-by shooting by accident. So when his wife gets shot, that forces him to go out in the community for two reasons. Number one, to find, you know, the person who shot his wife, you know, to try to get justice. And while he's doing that, he's wound up helping people, you know, come back to the fold of Islam. And he met a brother named Muhammad while he was out there. Muhammad was somebody who was born Muslim, but he was never practicing. So he helped Muhammad become a good Muslim, get back on his deen. And, you know, come to find out, Muhammad was one of the people that shot his wife by mistake. So now he needs to, is he going to forgive Muhammad or is he going to walk away from him? You know, and while this is going on, you have a brother named Jihad who's fresh out of jail. He did a 5-year jail sentence for murder. And Iman Saifulhaq was one of the chaplains in the prison that helped Jihad get out of the prison early because he converted to Islam and he helped him. And he made him promise that when he do come out here that he will not return back to being a drug dealer. He will try to get his life straight. But when Jihad get out of jail, the family of the people who he murdered are trying to kill him. So now he has a dilemma. Should he get back into the drug game and try to shoot them, or should he keep his promise to the Iman and really try to walk this line, this test of the law sentence for him in a dignified manner, inshallah. You know, and you have a few other storylines in the movie as well, you know, that reflect the city of Philadelphia about the crime, the drugs, the things that's going on in the Ummah. So basically, it's about getting Muslims to choose the deen over the dunya. You know, ultimately, you can't have both. You can't be a drug dealer and a Muslim at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. So this is what basically the Iman forces the Muslims to do, because him and the Imams in the city had a collective fatwa that no drug dealers are allowed in the masjid. If you're a known drug dealer and you're known to cause fitna in the neighborhood, then you're banned from the masjid. And they come with proof that you can ban people from the masjid. It is a privilege to go to the masjid. Not every Muslim have a right to go there if they're going to portray certain roles. So he basically forces people, you know, to choose Islam over the world. You know, and that's basically what the movie's about. It's about choosing the deen over dunya, ultimately. There's not, you can't be both. You can't choose both, inshallah.
No. And, you know, when I first seen this come out, I was like, wow, this is something, you know, it captured my attention. Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, forget that this city has such a large population of Muslims. Like, we have one of the largest per capita, per people population of Muslims outside of Dearborn, Michigan. Not even New York has the concentration like New York, or like Brooklyn and Queens and, you know, like the urban neighborhoods. They don't even have the largest number of Muslims in a population as Philly does. And then, you know, with Philly, we have such a diversity of different Muslims. So, you know, when I seen this is something that, you know, if people don't know what happens in urban neighborhoods and things of that nature, in the ghetto, as they want to say, these are things that people struggle with every day. So it's real. So, you know, the topic that you pick for, you know, the movie is something real. It's not something that's made up or something that people can't realize or can't, you know, put it in their shoes or in their situation. So I thought that was very positive that, you know, you didn't make it on, you know, this person living on the main line, you know, something that people can't relate to, like everyday people can't relate to. And, you know, also it's important, you know, being Muslim, that, you know, we show new Shahadas specifically, you know, that there is this struggle. There is this struggle And it's nothing wrong with struggling with your deen, because this is a test from Allah. We're all going to be tested with different things at various times within, you know, us being Muslim. You know, so this is something I thought would be positive for new Shahadas to see, because it's something that you're going to face. And, you know, mashallah, you never have to face it, but we know, you know, from experience myself, I've been Muslim for 23 years, you 20 years, you know, there are times where we're going to fight ourselves and have to fight our nafs to this dunya. It's something real, but, you know, you picking that topic, that is definitely something positive, and it's real. It's real. So, you know, other than that, what do you like about your program? Because, you know, you do a radio show, and, you know, I'm not biased, you know, so I want you to talk about your radio show. Like, what do you do on your radio show? And I listen to your show sometimes, you know, when I have a couple of minutes to listen to, you know, I'll join into your show because, you know, it's always good to get knowledge. And, you know, being Muslim, you will never know everything that you need to know being a Muslim in this lifetime. You won't. So it's good to listen to and support our fellow Muslims. You know, I don't get into that, oh, he doing the same thing. I don't get into that, because I could learn something from you just as well. You could learn something from me. And that's how real Muslims should be. Like, you know, we should form this bond and promote truth and promote what's correct, you know, so that, you know, hey, you do your show every day. I do my show, you know, on a certain set of days, but we're doing something positive. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your show.
And as Muslims, we should support one another, you know, and that's the essence of brotherhood. You know, we need to bring that back so that we can, you know, promote positivity in the city, you know, because there's not a lot of positivity in the world today or in Philadelphia. And that's one of the reasons why I had the Dean Over Dunya show, and I chose the Dean Over Dunya because we in Philadelphia have a special opportunity to live amongst Muslims and see Muslims every 10 minutes when you walk out the house. That is a rarity in anywhere but Mecca and Medina and Islamic countries, you know, in this city. This happened to be the city of brotherly love. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this city for a reason. So yeah. The number one problem I seen in our community was that people love the dunya. You know, they living in a shaitanic and dajjalic society where you choose this life over the hereafter, you know, and I feel as though that the Dean Over Dunya show helped people, you know, recognize what are the traps in society, what are the pitfalls, what are to look out for, what are the rules, the roles of shaitan, how he's going to come at you, inshallah. And I try to be just as basic and fundamental as possible so people can understand, you know. Right. There's times when I have scholars on and sheikhs on to promote a deeper message, but for the foremost, the show is for common people who, you know, come home from work to sit down and relax and just and listen to something that they can relate to, inshallah. So that's the whole premise of the show, to try to get the common people to understand the deen from a layman point of view, inshallah.
No, and that's very important because, you know, like you said, sometimes, you know, when people, you know, are, you know, highly educated in Islam, they forget that people are just starting out. You know, like, not everybody is born Muslim where you have Muslim parents and, you know, they reinforce, you know, learning Quran and Hadith. So it's important that, you know, we have different things, different avenues, different venues for the new Shahadas to be able to, you know, feel comfortable about and, you know, be able to understand, you know, like you said, in a layman's term, what the religion is about. And, you know, also, but also those who are more seasoned Muslims, you know, they can get more educated as well when, you know, you do, like, have your scholars on and sheikhs and things of that nature. So I think that's, you know, very positive. So you want to tell everybody on listening in on the show, like, what the hours and the days of your show are, so they can tune in when they're not tuning in to me? Inshallah.
I try to do the show at least 3 days a week at 8 o'clock. Inshallah, depending on when the time of Salat is, I change it around that. inshallah. But I usually come on 8 o'clock, you know, at least 3 days a week, inshallah. Sometimes I don't come on, sometimes I do. It depends on how I feel with the movies I'm shooting and everything. I got like a lot on my plate, inshallah. So I usually try to do it around 8 o'clock, inshallah.
Okay. Give the callers the number so that they can call in. So they'll be able to call.
Now, the call in numbers are 914-338-0884, 914-338-0884, and you can download it on iTunes and tune in radio. Just type in Dean Overdunia Show. Inshallah.
Now, inshallah. So, you know, I know you got a lot going on. So, what do you do in your spare time when you're not doing the show or you're not, you know, shooting a movie? What do you do in your spare time?
I work. You know, I do in-home health aid, you know what I mean, because it's my full-time job, inshallah, you know, which is a humbling job, you know, taking care of senior citizens. So, you know, that's what I do. Other than that, I write poetry, you know, and, you know, just write scripts. You know, I'm working on a TV show called House of Iman, like the Islamic version of Good Times. I think we need that type of show back. It's going to be on YouTube soon, inshallah. It's going to come on every Friday at 8 o'clock. You know, it's going to be a sitcom, you know, Islamic sitcom, inshallah, about the Iman, his life at home with his three kids and his wife, inshallah. So, you know, that's what I'm doing right now, inshallah.
And that, like, again, we definitely need something positive like that, you know, like, you know, I see these TV shows that are on. And, you know, I got teenagers, and I try to deflect them as much as possible from engaging in, you know, this filth that's on TV and, you know, on the radio and things of that nature. So this definitely would be something very positive, you know, for the Muslim community, and not just for the Muslim community, for anybody to see, because, you know, people want to label us, you know, as, you know, savages, they want to label us as terrorists and so forth and so on. So, again, we definitely need some positivity in this city. This city has, within the last couple of weeks, has experienced so much, and I'm not even going to get into what it is, but, you know, if you're from Philly, you know what's been going on in this city, and it's not good. It's definitely not a good look for the Muslims here. So, you know, this is why, you know, like with me and the brother, we're trying to keep things positive. We're trying to promote positivity. We're not trying to engage in, you know, this fitna and this filth that's out there on these TVs. We're trying to engage the Muslims and make y'all understand that we are Muslim for a reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just say, okay, you're going to be Muslim. He chose you for a specific reason. Other than worshiping him, there's a reason that you're Muslim. So we should be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal that we are Muslim. And, you know, we need to come up out this dunya. Like, we need to leave this jahiliya stuff alone. We need to walk away from it and focus on what's correct and what's positive. You know, because if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was here right now, he would be so disgusted with what's going on in this community, not just here in Philadelphia. I'm talking about around the world, period. He would be so disgusted with our activities, our behaviors, things that's going on because, you know, we don't fear Allah. And this is why it's important to make sure that you're praying, because when you pray, when you have those set times of prayer, it pulls you away from if you were doing something negative. So if you was engaging in something and you hear the adhan go off, you hear the ikama being called, it pulls you away from that negative stuff so that you can focus back on what Allah chose you to be Muslim for, and that's worshiping him. So, you know, I definitely agree, you know, we do need this positive type image, you know, presented for the Muslims. Like, you know, it's not all negative, you know, it's not, you know, burdensome, because some people think, like, you know, us being Muslim, we're oppressed. Like, you know, our husbands have us oppressed. You know, the men are rulers with whips. Like, you know, people really think like this. And, you know,
no.
Us showing, you know, the community, because, you know,
Not just Muslims are watching us. And you definitely know that. You definitely know that. It's not just people watch everything that you do. So when they see something positive, they're like, oh, all the Muslims ain't bad. That brother, he doing this. That sister, she doing this. You know, people watch what you do. So it's also important, you know, for us to make sure that when we do something, you know, yeah, it may not be a set of eyes on you, but there could be a camera on you. There could be somebody recording you. So you have to be mindful of what you're doing and your behaviors and your activities. Because people want to count Muslims out. I'm telling you, they want to count us out. They want to say we're this bad people that need to be wiped from the face of the earth. A lot of people don't like Muslims, and then when you have the bad behaviors and the bad activities, it just puts a check mark on the bad side. Yep, I told y'all that's what they do, check. You know, but then when they see us doing something positive, it reinforces it like, oh, well, all Muslims ain't bad or all Muslims ain't doing that. And that's what we need definitely within this community. So so far with you doing the show and doing the movie, how do you feel as far as your accomplishments? Do you feel good about what you're doing? Do you wish that it was a little bit more, a little bit less? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm just grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he even allowed me to even speak about the religion of Islam and even mention his name with the gathering of people. That's where the honor come in, inshallah. Even if it don't reach people, the fact that you can be able to speak about Allah and his messenger and able to do that, you know, that's where the reward comes in. That's what people don't understand. That, you know, when I was young, I made dua to Allah to be normal. You know, I wanted to be like a normal human being. But then I realized normal people have problems and issues. You know, so I wanted to be above normal. I wanted to be, you know, unique. I didn't want to be a follower. I wanted to be a leader. You know, so it's alhamdulillah that Allah allowed me to, you know, just speak about Islam with passion. You know, and whether it reach people or not, it's just delivering the message. That's what the reward is in, just to speak about Allah and His messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, while other people are doing other things, I'm going to be talking about Allah and the fact that He gave me the love for the deen and the messenger of Allah. That right there is a ni'mah. You know what I mean? Because a lot of Muslims don't have the love for Allah and His messenger. They don't like talking about deen. You know, they don't crave that. You know, this having that is a tremendous blessing. You know, so on the day of judgment, inshallah, hopefully my reward will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that's the case, then that's all I look forward to, inshallah.
Inshallah, I mean. And you know, that's something that, you know, I've seen in you, just like myself. You know, I had taught basic fundamentals in Islam for a number of years at my home. And, you know, I stopped doing it because, like, my oldest daughter and her friends, they're all, like, in college and working and things like that. So, you know, I stopped doing the classes. So, you know, every now and again, you know, it would be sisters reaching out to me saying, hey, you know, do you still do classes? And I'm like, no, you know, I don't have time for that right now. That because, you know, I had my hummus business going on. So, you know, I was just like, I don't have time for that or whatever like that. So I'm telling you, Allah brings you back to what you really need to focus on. And, you know, I had made up a post. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't teach anymore because, you know, somebody had asked me what, you know, was I still teaching? I was like, no, I don't do that no more. So a brother, you know, he sort of, like, reached out to me, and he was like, yo, like, what do you mean you don't have time for that? If somebody asking you about Islam, you should drop everything and focus on that. So I was like, all right, I'll see. You know, I'll see if somebody's interested because, you know, I get people who will come once or twice a week, once or twice out the whole 15 weeks that I offer. And then, you know, everybody drop off. Nobody comes or whatever like that. So this time when, you know, I got put the notice out there about me teaching, I got 25 people to, you know, sign up for class. And, you know, they're joining in person and they're doing, you know, via conference call, we're doing it. So alhamdulillah, because, you know, like, these sisters are new shahadas, or some of them just want that refresher. And I'm going to touch on a point that you said, that Allah picks certain people. Now, I'm no scholar. I know the basics. But people who reached out to me, they said they feel comfortable with approaching me, and they see how I post things about the religion. And they say that the way that you do it makes me feel like I could come to you without being judged, without being, you know, the finger pointing, like, you know, like a dictator. They said you just have mm-hmm. that about you. So when you offered the classes, it was like, alhamdulillah, like, you know, now we're going to do it. And I got a good response, alhamdulillah. Like, I'm thankful for that, because I always take the middle course. Like, I'm not, you know, this extreme, and I'm not this liberal. I'm right in the middle, and that's where a lot of people need to be, you know, because a lot of sisters don't feel comfortable going to the masjid because they get looked at. They get, you know, they don't know, you know, what the protocol is for when they go to certain masjids, so forth and so on. And these sisters are made to feel like they're trash. Off along, like, it should not be like this. We should all be trying to implement the sunnah as comfortable as possible for new shahadas, especially for new shahadas, because this is where the breaking point comes. Like, oh, I can't learn a religion. It's too hard. You know, I don't have nobody. I go to the masjid. They turn me away. So when you said that, you know, Allah doesn't choose everybody. Everybody can't do this. You know, everybody doesn't have the zeal to do it. And I'll say this. When I speak about Islam, people say, I can feel your passion for the religion. And that's how I've been since I took my shahada. I always had a passion to enjoy what is correct and forbid what is evil. And, you know, this is, you know, it's not hard. The religion is not hard. People make it hard. People make this religion harder than what it's supposed to be. Because we know if you fast when you're supposed to fast, if you pray your five prayers, you forbid the evil and join the good, and you do what the five pillars of Islam say, and you adhere to the tenets of Islam, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you want to do extra, like your sunnah prayer, so forth and so on, alhamdulillah, you get more barakah for that, but there's no less in it if you just do the basics. And that's where people make this religion too hard, and it's not, and too complicated for people who are new shahadas. And I'm sure you have people approach you about different things. You know, the brothers probably approach you more than the sisters. So, you know, the brothers asking you for guidance and direction and things like that. But everybody doesn't have this passion that we have. Everybody doesn't have the zeal to want to speak on Islam and speak on it with passion. Like, you got to have that fire in you when you're speaking about Islam. And people are like, oh, you go in. Like, you know, I like that. Like, I like the passion that you have for the religion. So, you know, getting on, you know, moving on to it, what is your ultimate goal? Like, what do you ultimately want to achieve in this dunya before you depart here? What is it that you're trying to do? What is it that you want to accomplish before you leave here?
Inshallah, if it's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I just want Muslims to understand that we can benefit each other more by unifying, you know, with the basic simple measures of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and not criticize one another, and not look down on the faults of one another, because that's the reason why in the ummah that we're not successful as a whole, because we're not unified. You know, right. The people we need to unify, fi sabilillah. And if we do that, then we can do what we need to do in this dunya. Other than that, then we're going to be divided and we're going to be humiliated. So that's what I try to do. I try to just unify the Muslims, try to get people to see that because you don't understand what a person may be doing doesn't mean that they're not doing the right thing. You have to get people who are so dumb the benefit of the doubt, you know, and we have to have a positive attitude with that. You know, you said you've been Muslim for 23 years. You know how Islam was in the 90s. You know,
yeah,
how we may have less knowledge, but we had more unity and more support
with
lectures and things like that. You know, so that's what I'm, that's in my that's the golden years. That's what I want to return back to. That's what I try to tell people, to just lay off the criticism and just help. I mean, make dua, just come together. And then if you do that, Allah will support you because you're unifying. Not because you may be the smartest, but the fact that you unify and support your brother, Allah will support you. So inshallah, if I can do that, just get people just to come together on the basics of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that'd be a good thing to do, inshallah.
Inshallah. And you know, like you said, the 90s, that was like the golden years. You know, like the unity that we had, I'm telling you, like back then in the 90s, if you didn't come to class, they came to your house and knocked on the door like, yo, you need to come to class. Or if you were male and you wasn't going to the masjid for Fajr, they came to your house. And I mean, I'm witness to this. I'm witness to this. I had them come to my house because I missed class like 2 weeks in a row. They came to my house. The sisters came to my house like, yo, you need to get to class. And I was like, you know, the unity, like that is something that I long for again, like you said. I mean, I had took my Shahada when I was 16, and, you know, half of my family is Muslim, but, you know, I couldn't always, like, go to my family to seek out things. I accepted to be, you know, Muslim. I took my Shahada, but I need to do my legwork as well. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I went out and I started seeking knowledge and, you know, looking around for people, you know, who I felt as though who could guide me. And there were a couple of sisters that to this day I have nothing but the ultimate respect for them, and we are still sisters in Islam and personal friends to this day, and they're older sisters, you know, older sisters than me, because they took me under their wing. You know, these sisters invited me to their house for different events. You know, they would just cook and teach, you know, have their husbands teach us, because they knew that we was new Shahadas. And, you know, these sisters didn't have the fear that, oh, if I bring these new Shahadas to my house, they gonna want my husband, or they gonna cause fitna and talk about, oh, you know, I had a hole in my couch, or, you know, I had some dishes in the sink. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't look at those things back in the day. We were looking to keep the companionship and to keep, you know, the faith in Islam. Like you know, back in the day, and you probably know this, the brothers got out of line. If you did something to your wife and your wife went to the masjid, which she could freely do without repercussions or nothing, because it was like her going to talk to her father at the masjid. This is how it was in the 90s. Like, if you went to the masjid and you wanted to speak to the imam about a situation that was going on in your home with your spouse or even your child, the imam treated you like you was his child, and to take that and react on it. So if a brother got out of hand with his wife, as far as verbal or physical, some brothers took you in the back of the masjid. Now, I don't know what they did to you, but I know you ain't come out doing the same thing that you was doing. Or if you had kids, especially like boys, young, you know, Muslim boys back then, if they was getting out of line, you went to the masjid, and the masjid checked them brothers. And again, I don't know what was done, but your son ain't act up no more. And, you know, the parents reinforce that the children should be in the masjid with you. It's not just you going to the masjid taking classes. You're bringing your kids to the masjid as well. You know, and it just felt like a home atmosphere whenever I was in the masjid with my children. Like, I never felt this awkwardness, like somebody's looking at me or somebody's going to criticize me, because we was all there learning. And regardless of our level of knowledge, we never, you know, put that over on another one, like, I got more knowledge than you or I know more than you. It was never like that back in the 90s. Never. It was never like that. And this is why the same sisters that I interacted with then are the same sisters that I interact with now, and may Allah continue to preserve them, because we don't get that no more. We don't get that that no more in this community. And that is definitely something, you know, I wish, I pray to Allah that this is something that could come back, you know, to the, you know, being us being unified. It's too much division in this community. For us to have all these Muslims, it's too much division. It's too much fitna. You know, like back in the day, you know, if you did something, the sisters checked you, and you corrected your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't get out of pocket with it. You was wearing perfume or something, and an older sister smelled you. She checked you. You know you ain't supposed to be wearing perfume. You know you ain't supposed to be. We ain't have all that Bath and Body Works, but we had, like, Victoria's Secret. Yeah, because I used to love the Victoria's Secret pair of glacé. Oh, that was my favorite. And this is, I was like, well, it's lotion. They'd be like, sister, no. No, that lotion got perfume in it. You shouldn't be wearing it. And I didn't wear it no more. You know what I'm saying? No. I would wear it in the house. I would wear it in the house, but I wouldn't wear it outside. Like, I took heed to those things. You can't even approach nobody out in the street nowadays without fearing that you may lose your own life. You can't talk to these people. And, I mean, it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't be that way. I don't know if you experienced the same type of things that I experienced, but, you know, we both took our Shahada in the 90s, and that was like the prime time. Like, that was the best time ever in this city. Like you said, we didn't have much knowledge, but we stuck together, and whatever little bit of knowledge that we did have, we shared it with each other. We didn't try to, you know, hoard it and keep it from, oh, I ain't telling them nothing, or I ain't telling them about these classes. Like, we all went to classes. I mean, you know, it was the whole family, the husband, the wife, the kids, all in the mess shit. We were all cooked. You know, okay, I know sister such and such make this. This sister make this. All right, all y'all bring something, you know, make enough so that your brothers can eat too. And we're just being in the mess shit learning. Without no fitness. Without no drama. Without thinking, oh, she want my husband. Or, oh, you know, I think he want my wife. Like, it was none of that. It was none of that. You know, inshallah, we can get back to that, you know. We're in a sad state right now. We're in a sad state in this ummah, and it hurts. And, you know, again, like I said, we are Muslims from the 90s. That is like when everything, like a lot of people was coming from the nation and coming into the hop, the truth. You know, so at that time, again, like you said, we didn't have much knowledge, but we had that unity. And, you know, it's sad that you have to be cautious of the people you invite in your home because you don't know what their ulterior motives is. And you shouldn't have to feel like that about Muslims. You know, back in the day, I would trust any Muslim. Any Muslim. If I seen a Muslim, I trusted him 100%. I would trust that person with my life. Today, nah, I'm a pass. Because you just don't know what people and teachers. And you feel me. You know what I'm saying. Like you really don't know people's intentions. And it's sad that, you know, we have to go through this in this community. So, you know, how can people help promote what you're doing? You know, I want to get the word out there to the ummah because we got a lot of callers listening tonight. What can I do? What can the callers do to help you achieve what you're trying to achieve? Because I want to help. If I can help, I'll do that. I tell everybody, I may not have money, but, you know, I try to keep food in my house. I'll feed anybody. I tell people I'll feed anybody. I'll clothe you. I'll donate time. I may not have the financial means to help you all the time, but I'll definitely do one of those things. So, you know, brother, go ahead. Let us know what we can do to help you out, you know, in your cause of trying to keep things positive here in Philly.
Well, the first thing that we have to work on, you know, and that's every Muslim as an individual, is brotherhood and sisterhood, you know, and one of the ways we get to know our brother is to eat with them. So if you can then try to invite sisters over your house. If you're a sister, try to eat with them, try to feed them. You know, if you're a brother, try to invite brothers over your house and feed them, inshallah. And number two, when you can, buy a gift for your friend. Just buy, you know, something for your brother, because people like gifts that will bond and join the bond of brotherhood. That's what we need. We need brotherhood to exist as an ummah. And we have to reach out. Even if the person don't speak to you, reach out to them. If someone is angry with you and they haven't spoken to you for a couple months, then take them to dinner. Do the sunnah. You know what I mean? Try to mend that brotherhood and sisterhood, because this is what we need in order to be successful. You know, swallow your pride, and I guarantee you that if you reach out to them for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will aid you. You know, if you aid your brother and something that he's going through, some difficulty, Allah will aid you. We have to think like that. We cannot think like the disbelievers that, oh, he's not going to speak to me, I'm not going to speak to him. No, our prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is our teacher. What would he do? Right. He would speak to a person that won't speak to him. That was his character. And this is, as Muslims, brotherhood is the most thing that we need in this city. If we don't establish brotherhood, there is no Islam. There is no unity with our brotherhood. So first thing we have to patch up is brotherhood and try to be brothers to as many sisters and brothers as possible. Simple. Visit people in the hospital that you know is sick. Visit your family members, even if they're not Muslim, because they are your family. That's one of the hadiths the Prophet said, so let's tell him in the last days of time, that people will, he said, the dishes will continue to communicate, as far as like the satellites. And people will stay home and stop visiting their relatives. They won't go outside because they sit home all day and just watch TV. So go visit your relatives. Show your face at events. You know, smile. Teach them about Islam. That's the deen. You know, if you know your relatives are not Muslim, you know one of their judgment where they're going to be. And if you don't help them and bring Islam to them, it's partly your fault as well, because you didn't invite them to something that's great. You know, invite your coworkers, your boss. I mean, this deen is real, and we have to unify and be brothers to one another. And not, you know, we're not enemies, we're brothers in deen. The Prophet said that none of us will achieve paradise until we become righteous. But none of you will become righteous until you love one another. And the ingredients to love one another is Eshu Shalam, spread the greetings. So inshallah, let's work on brotherhood. And if each and every last one of us, an individual, do that, then in the whole, we, this unity will come, and brotherhood will come, inshallah.
No. Alhamdulillah, that's definitely something that, you know, we all should try to implement. You know, like I said, I do my classes free at my home, free. I supply the books, everything free. And I feed you when you come to my house because I love to cook, so I'm always cooking. And I do this free. Y'all know I love to cook. Y'all see my stuff out there. I'm always posting something. But I like to cook because that's one of my passions as well. And like you said, when you invite people into your home, you know, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. I could care less of what y'all think about me or whatever like that. But one thing y'all can't say is that sister is fake. Like she's phony and fake, or she perpetrating to be something that she's not. Because I tell people the same way I am on Instagram or Facebook is the same way I am in person. And people who personally know me, they're like, yeah, that ain't fake. That's real. She's being real. But, you know, we got to get past this. You know, and I used to try to do, like, a sister's night out, like, where we would go bowling or we would go to, you know, the different buffets to go eat and things like that. But then it just came in, like, you know, well, what mass did you go to? And I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, it's like, well, what mass did you go to? And then, you know, my husband said I can't go out to eat with y'all because y'all don't go to this mass. And I'm like, I can't. Like I just don't have time for it. Like we're eating. We not, you know, we're gonna go pray when it's time to pray, but we're eating. We're socializing. We're talking about how we can better the community, how we can help our children grow in Islam, you know, things of that nature. We're not talking about, you know, religious things per se. You know, like sister, where do you go get your hair done? You know, things that sisters talk about. But your husband don't want you doing that with other Muslims. Okay. All right. Then, you know, don't come to the event. You know, and it just, we just have to
understand that nobody's trying to turn you away from Islam. That is what should be the premise to all of this. We are not trying to turn you away from Islam. We're trying to turn you to Islam. And, you know, for us to have such hate and disdain for each other because of a color that you wear or you don't attend a certain masjid, this stuff got to stop. It got to stop. You know, that's where the whole issue came in with helping the homeless. Helping the homeless Muslims, you know, this, oh, they don't, and I'm like, yo, astaghfirullah, you know, may Allah continue to bless me where I don't need nobody for nothing, because if I can't turn to the Muslim, first and foremost, to aid me, we got a serious issue here. That's a serious issue that if I can't, I remember years ago, like you said, back in the 90s, I was going to the train station, and I seen this homeless sister. And I said, sister, why are you homeless? He said, nobody can help me. I said, what do you mean nobody can help you? Go to the masjid. He was like, well, what? I said, come on. I was late for work. I took her to the masjid. I said, this sister needs help. She's homeless. They helped the sister. They helped the sister. And this is the thing I don't get. These masjids, no, they may not have the funds or the finances to help you. But if you say you're homeless, why can't you sleep in the masjid? Why can't the Muslims that associate with that particular community bring you food to the masjid? Why can't those Muslims take the clothes that they would wear on their backs? And I'm not talking about something that you wouldn't wear or you had no intentions on ever wearing again. Why don't you take something that you was going to wear tomorrow and give it to the sister or brother? I don't understand this, because back in the day, this is what they did in the masjid. This is what the masjid was for. The masjid tell you after prayer, we lock it down, and that's it. So these Muslims feel like they have nowhere to go. I can't grasp this. I can't grasp. And yes, I'm very passionate about this because it doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't sit right with me. I know not every person is true and not everybody is honest, but to see your brother or sister and even children that are Muslims out here in this dunya and getting help from non-believers before any Muslim would dare approach them is sickening. It's sickening, and this is something that definitely needs to be rectified within this community. I mean, you know, I can only do but so much. The brother can only do but so much. We need everybody to come together as a collective. Forget what color you wear. Forget what masjid you go to. Come together as a collective and show people what Muslims can do, because I'm telling you, I know we could do way more than what we're currently doing. And people turn away from it. People turn away from it. And, you know, to see somebody apostate from Islam, I cry when I hear these things. I literally cry, because I understand the struggle that some of these people go through, and not everybody, Imam, is where it needs to be. But it saddens me that this person felt like they had no other Muslim to turn to, and their only choice was to apostate from Islam. What was the cause for them to apostate? You know, you could have said to the sister, oh, you ain't got on them colors, I ain't talking to you. And that just made that sister Imam drop a little bit further. Or the brother like, oh, you're Wakil? Man, he don't go to the masjid I go to. That made your Imam drop another level. So we have to be careful as Muslims of what we say to people, because we don't know what that person is going through. They may not show it every day. They may walk around with a smile, and that person is dying on the inside. You don't know what's going on in their home because they don't reveal it. You know, that's between them, Allah, and whatever's going on in their home. But if that person is reaching out to you just for some companionship, like, hey, sister, can we go shopping, or can we go out to eat? And you're like, no, because, you know, I don't know what message y'all go to. Like, what? That could have just killed that whole sister email, and she go on apostate. Now, no, we're not responsible for if somebody apostates, but did you contribute to it? You know, these are things that we have to be mindful of. And, you know, like, so much stuff that's going on in this community is, you know, it's sad, you know, that we can't form a bond. And then, you know, you got these Muslims. This is a whole other topic that I'm going to talk about on another day. You got these Muslims killing Muslims. Like, if y'all only knew what the punishment is for killing another Muslim, you shedding your brother's or your sister's blood. It's like you killed all of mankind when you shed the blood of another Muslim. You got Muslims at war with Muslims telling you, when I see you, I'm a let you have it. Like, you're talking to another Muslim. There's plenty of people that, you know, I don't agree with or have issues with, but it never crossed my mind to say that I would shed their blood. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. So, you know, these are definitely things that we, you know, need to work on as, you know, a whole collective ummah. I mean, it's something that we need to work on. Anything else you want to say to the masses before we conclude the call?
No, I want to ask Allah from God to bless you, you know, for allowing me to come on your show, you know, alhamdulillah. It was an honor, you know. I really appreciate it, inshallah. You know, maybe one day you could come on my show and talk to my audience, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Definitely, you know, this is what we need to do. You know, as Muslims, we need to seek out positive things because it's so much positive stuff that goes on. It's so much that goes on. I'm not the only sister. He's not the only brother out there promoting positivity. You know, there's a lot of different people promoting positivity and trying to even incorporate things with the children because, you know, this generation that's coming up, I hear a lot of people say this generation is lost, is shot. You know, it's no help for them. Start focusing on the babies that's just being born because there's so much that can't be corrected with this generation, you know, that's coming up. And I see it. And I see it. And it, you know, and having children that are born and raised Muslim, it's a struggle to keep your kids guided in this dunya. But then to have on top of that the fitna from the community itself, it's like a double strike. You know, you're trying to raise your kids properly, teach them Islam, keep them grounded, and then, you know, they got to go out here in this dunya. But even the Muslims is leading them to the wrong path. Even the Muslims, so you know, like usually if you would have seen another Muslim, you was cutting up, doing something, you would straighten up. You would straighten up real quick. Stop what you're doing. Now you just continue to do it. Because that Muslim ain't going to check you. That Muslim ain't going to check you. When they should be checking you. There's nothing wrong with correcting that bad action that you see or your brother or sister. This is what we're supposed to do. Now, I'm not saying come at them harsh, but you can pull them to the side. Like, sister, you know, you ain't supposed to be doing that. You know, brother, you ain't supposed to be doing that. There's ways of going about it without humiliating the person because sometimes people just don't know. They don't know because, see, they don't have the classes. They're too scared to go to the masjid. They don't have nobody to teach them. The person who gave them their shahada just gave them their shahada and turned them away to the wolves because that's basically what you did. You take the shahada, boom, I'm out. If you give somebody their shahada, you should be their teacher. You should try to guide them in Islam as much as you can. And that's what I do when I give people their shahada. I just don't tell them to recite the Kalima shahada and turn away. No, like, look, these are the books you need to get. These, you know, this is what you need to do. Come to me. People know you can call me 24 hours a day, text, voicemail, whatever, and I'll get back to you and try to help you. I'm not going to just leave you out there without answering your questions. And if I don't have that, I tell people, I know a student of knowledge. I go to the student of knowledge. If the student of knowledge don't have that answer, he goes to the sheikh. The sheikh don't have it. They call over Saudi. So, you know, we just gotta try to correct this. You know, it's too out of hand what's going on. We're making the haram halal and the halal haram, and we need to stop. We need to stop because nothing's going to get better until we improve our conditions and want for our brother and sister what we want for ourselves. And that's the God honest truth. That's the God honest truth. If you want to continue to rise, but you don't want your brother or sister to rise with you or to have better than you, this will never change. Allah is not going to bless us with nothing. He's not going to bless us. He is not going to bless us with anything until we want for our brother and sister what we want for ourselves. And, I mean, that's hawk right there. That's not something Qadira made up. That's the truth. And you got to question. When you don't see you receiving blessings from Allah, question your activities. Question what you're doing and why you're not receiving those blessings. It's a reason. It's a reason. Allah will block stuff, and you be like, you have no clue why. But see, for me, Allah makes that easy for me to understand certain things, and certain things click right away with me, like, oh, I know why I ain't get that. I know why. I ain't even going to say nothing because I know why I ain't get that. And I correct my actions and move on. And then Allah opens up another door for me to take a different path and to bless me with something that I had wanted. Because Allah, for things that I need, I mean, for things that I want, I ask Allah for things that I need, like peace. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for a car or, you know, these material, trivial things. I'm asking Allah for, like, peace, inner peace within myself to, you know, quench some of my anger because I have anger issues. So, you know, to quench that. These are things that we should be focused on, trying to get right better with Allah. And, you know, that's all I got to say. Anything else you want to say, brother, before we conclude the call?
No, mashallah. You did good, mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. And, you know, I'm going to conclude the call now. You know, I thank the brother for joining the show. And, again, support all of us. If you can, just by tuning into, you know, listening to the shows or, you know, if we got an event or something going on, just try to turn out. You know, even if you're not helping, to see another Muslim, support another Muslim makes my day. That's all, like, you know, it's something positive, and, you know, that's ways that we can, you know, try to bind this ummah back to the way that it used to be. Inshallah, that Allah, you know, preserves us and, you know, keep us steadfast to wanting to do what's correct and keeping us away from what is haram. I thank Allah for, you know, just giving me the opportunity to present this information to y'all, you know, because I can see, I can read, I can breathe, I can hear, I can taste, I can touch. Some people don't have that. Some people are in their graves wishing they were sitting right where I'm sitting at today. We need to be thankful to Allah for everything, for breathing, that He allows our lungs to deflate and inflate and pump blood through our veins to our heart to nourish our mind and to nourish our bodies. This is something that we should be grateful for. trivial things that we don't think about every day. But these are the things that we should be grateful for. So I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to, you know, have these things. And I thank Allah for you joining tonight, brother. You know, anything that I could do to help support you, if you want to, you know, anything that you need promoted, reach out to me. I'll do the best that I can, inshallah.
Inshallah. Shukran.
F1. So, you know, that concludes the call for tonight. And, you know, if anybody needs to get in contact with me, you have comments, questions, or concerns about the show or anything, if you want to be a guest on the show, if you have an event you want to promote, anything of that sort, feel free to contact me at 610-836-2120. You can leave a voicemail message, text message. You can reach me at qamrma@gmail.com, so you can send me an email, and I'll check, you know, that to see what your comment, question, or concern was. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Blog, Google Talk. So you can reach me at any of those social networks. Again, this is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. And tonight was the interview with Mr. Dean Obadunya Show himself. I appreciate, you know, everybody listening. I appreciate my callers. I like when y'all call in. I appreciate you. And I ask that Allah continue to preserve you and, you know, make you a benefit to everybody, including yourself, I mean. So that's it for tonight. Assalamu alaikum and have a good evening.